Good morning. The scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. Jesus denounces the scribes. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more money than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So this morning for the sermon, I want to say that I understand that the next 12 to 15 minutes is probably going to be the hardest on the children. So if I hear little words or rustlings or things, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I love to hear the commotion of our younger congregants here. So parents, don't worry. I'm good. We're all good. We're all going to get through the next 12 to 15 minutes together, okay? But I had an opening illustration that I was really excited about. And then Thursday happened, and I got word of the shooting that happened in Borderline at the club. And then on Friday, the fire swept through the area. You have to understand, I was a pastor in Thousand Oaks for 10 years. And people that I knew frequented Borderline. There are families that I served that were displaced, a couple who worried about whether their homes were still standing or not. It's been quite the last couple of days. On the altar, we do have a flower arrangement here. Each one of those roses represents the people who were killed at the Borderline. And we remember. And at the same time, in the midst of all of this, to see the way people bond together in those hard times, to see the way community comes together, even though we often don't think of our bonds of community, even though we've become more and more isolated in our society as we go about our business, I'm grateful to see how people are connected. I'm grateful to see that there are still hearts that beat in our chest, and I am grateful that we are bound together as community. And I couldn't go through my sermon without raising that and impressing upon us the importance of being together at times like these. I am grateful that you are here. I'm grateful that we are together. And so we're not going to do my opening illustration. We're just going to jump right into the scripture here. Jesus and his disciples are wandering through the temple in the scripture that we read. And the temple at this time, this is King Herod's temple. It was built right at the turn before the Common Era becomes the year of our Lord. It's built all in that time frame, and it was a masterpiece. It was huge. You could see the dome shining from 20 miles away. It was impressive. It was large. People came from all over that region during that time just to see the temple. And they would come and they'd stand in the outer courts and marvel at just how beautiful the temple of Israel was. And so Jesus' disciples, as they wander around, his disciples are probably in awe. Some of them may have been at the temple for the first time and couldn't believe that buildings could be this big and be this beautiful. And somewhere along the lines, Jesus probably points out some of the noted religious leaders that were wandering around in their beautiful robes and their stoles with the tassels. And the disciples were probably impressed by them and probably thought, maybe one day we will be in that same respected position. But Jesus let the disciples know that the beauty of the robes and the respect that they were greeted with and the wealth that they were accumulating did not mean that they were in God's goodwill. See, the Pharisees and the scribes, as part of their teaching, they taught that if you were wealthy, if you were powerful, if you were influential, if you had the respect of those around you, God's favor was shining on you. And if you were poor, if you were sick, if you didn't have children in your family, then it was God's curse being poured out over you because of your sin or possibly because of one of your ancestors' sin or maybe your parents' sin. In fact, Jesus seems to indicate that the scribes and the Pharisees' focus on such external things actually brought God's displeasure to them. And as a result, I intentionally did not wear a robe or a stole this morning. And I want us to pause for a moment because this is a passage that for pastors is always uncomfortable when we preach it. And I, for one, I'm always very aware when I read this story that that my income is the result of the generosity of the people I serve. And yes, I have long robes. And yes, I have stoles that have tassels. And I say long prayers at various functions. And I have my own reserved parking spot here in the church. And I'm grateful for them. And I'm grateful for the generosity that is shown towards me. But I need to preach this story regularly to remind me that those outward signs have nothing to do with whether or not I am humbly seeking God or walking faithfully in the way of Christ. But let's get back to the temple, okay? We're not going to focus on Pastor Steve and the fact that he's not wearing his long robe or doesn't have his stole on. Jesus makes a point, after noticing how impressed his disciples are with the beauty of the temple, to go and take a seat opposite of what's known as the treasury. It was a large box, and it was a place where people would come, and they would deposit their what was called the temple tax. The temple tax was the 10% that all Jewish people were required to give in, as an obligation to God. It supported the temple, it supported the priests. And the rich folk would come, as we saw in the children's moment, and they would deposit very large sums of money into the treasury box. And sometimes it was done with fanfare, kind of like when you leave a large tip at the bar and there's a bell that's rung. You know, it was kind of like that. You put a big gift in, there was a trumpet that would sound, and everybody would know someone had come and given a large gift. And no doubt the disciples were impressed by those that came and left these gifts. And then this poor widow comes up, probably unnoticed by most people, and into the box she drops two copper coins. And these coins are virtually worthless. I mean, how many of you care if you lose a penny? All right? How many of you care if you lose a penny? Most of us don't even think about them, right? Right, I find that in my car, in my little drink holder, it's like half filled with pennies because I use all the quarters and dimes and nickels, but the pennies, no, we don't use pennies anymore unless we absolutely have to. But just to give you an idea of how much these copper coins were valued, they were the least valuable coin in circulation at the time. They were the penny of the day. And together, the two coins equaled about 6 minutes worth of the daily wage. So in our world today, if we were, for the sake of easy math, I was an English major as my undergrad degree. I was not a math major. So I'm going to use $100 as the average daily wage. That works out to about $12.50 an hour for an 8-hour workday, okay? But it's easy math, $100. If you agreed to work 8 hours at $100 an hour, you would need about 40 of those copper coins to equal the value of 1 penny in our current currency. All right? So that gives you an idea just how insignificant these copper coins that she put in. It's essentially worthless. And yet she is the one that Jesus points to in the scripture and says, this poor woman has given more than all the rest who have contributed to the treasury. So think of the parade of all of the wealthy people who have come and put money in the plate. She's given more in these two worthless copper coins than all who have come to the box and contributed. And he says, they have given out of their abundance, but in her poverty, she has given everything she has to live on. See, the greatest gifts are not always the largest gifts. Sometimes it's the small gifts that carry the greatest meaning and represent the greatest sacrifice. And let me show you what Jesus meant, okay? All right. Simple brown paper lunch sack. And inside, we have one apple. And I'm going to cut about a tenth of this apple off. I don't know if that's a tenth, but close enough. One tenth given away. Part of an apple left. It's a good apple. And in here, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, ha, 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 ha. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 apples. 10 apples. Who wants an apple? There we go. Closest hand, first hand I saw. After the service, if you want an apple, you can come forward and get one. The tenth of an obligation. Who has more to live on? Nine apples. Here's the reality. A person that had 10 apples could actually give away 4 more apples. You wanted one? Here we go. Your hand's still up. There we go. You still have 5 apples left, right? This 10 apple sack has given up 5 apples and there's still 5 apples left. Which one was the greatest sacrifice? You see, Jesus is not only commending the widow's generosity and her willingness to trust, but he's also criticizing a system that demands such a sacrifice from the poor for the profit of the wealthy. Make no mistake, we are called to be generous with time, with love, with patience, with kindness, with goodness, with gentleness, and yes, with money and with resources. We are called to trust that we have enough to share with others. We're called to believe that the more we give away, the more there is to give. But Jesus' idea of generosity has little to do with the actual measured amount. It has to do with the level of sacrifice
in what we give.
And some people are able to joyfully give beyond the quote obligation out of their abundance with joy. Whereas others, the small amounts that we're able to give out of what we have are just as much of a sacrifice. We're all called to give. But in the kingdom of God, we are called for equal levels of sacrifice, not equal percentages. In other words, generosity is not a flat tax in the kingdom of God. And the question goes out as we read the story, how generous are we? And how generous are you? And it's a question that I invite you to take prayerfully to God. In our society today, in the face of shootings and natural disasters, in the face of extreme income disparity, in the face of racism, sexism, and discrimination, in an age where some people are able to afford health care and others aren't, and in the face of hate and in violence, we are called to be generous, not just with money, but with who we are. We're called to give ourselves for the healing of our neighborhoods and for the healing of our world. Be generous in love, in respect, time, and may we begin to see a healing of something that seems to be inherently broke in our society and in our nation. I hope that we will all do our part. Amen. Amen. On Monday mornings, actually every community time, we have a moment where we say, are there any announcements? And so I am asking, are there any announcements? Dan Doggett has an announcement.
With all this talk about generosity.
There, that's better. With all this talk about generosity, I want to give you a couple of opportunities to be generous. Financially generous, generous with your time, with your muscles, because less than 3 weeks from today, we open the Christmas tree lot. Less than 2 weeks from today, we actually start working, setting it up, and getting things ready to go. So I want to present not a plea for your help, but an opportunity for you to be generous. You can be generous by purchasing your Christmas tree at our Christmas tree lot and encouraging your friends to do the same. Last year, $25,000 was given by this church and this church community to good causes through our generosity from our Christmas tree lot. We want to do even better this year. So we need money. We need people to buy Christmas trees. We also need people to help us move Christmas trees around and put them on cars and get them into stands and all of those little tasks that it takes to make this happen. So I want to give you that opportunity to join us for a lot of fun, whether you're a member of the church, the Wesley School community, the Boy Scouts, whichever part of our community you are in. I want to present that opportunity to you. Wednesday evenings, starting in a couple of weeks, we start getting trees delivered. And we need lots of people to help unload trucks and cut trees and put them in stands and get them ready to go. Thursday evening, we move them around and get them ready. And Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, we're open and we're selling trees. And we need people to be generous with their time in all of those opportunities. During our after-church fellowship time, Roger will have some sign-up sheets available. And so if you are feeling generous this morning, please see Roger and put your name on one of those lists. I would encourage you to pick a time, and for 3 weeks, just give us that time. Wednesday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, all day Saturday, Sunday afternoons. same time each week for 3 weeks. That would be wonderful. You could just be here all the time that I am. That's not much. And we'd appreciate your generosity. So Christmas tree is coming. Lot is coming. Please be generous, both with your time and talents and of course, your treasure as we look to do good for our community through the tree lot.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Two things that I have to announce. One, in the back of your bulletin is actually a schedule of our upcoming week. You can peruse that and see what's going on. After service, we will be actually moving over to the social hall and into the community yard over there on the Wesley side of campus. We're going to be putting together sack lunches to be distributed through the Interfaith Food Pantry. We're going to be eating together, and also the UMW has a special, the United Methodist Women of our church has a boutique that they're going to be selling some the baked goods, some candies, some the holiday goods and things, and we invite you to come and shop and to serve and to fellowship together so that we might be community. And also, on Thanksgiving Eve, so the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving at 7:30, all the churches and religious communities that are a part of the Interfaith Food Pantry will be gathering here in our sanctuary for a Thanksgiving Eve service. Thanksgiving Eve is one of those, it's not a religious holiday, but it is an opportunity where people of different faith can get together to express their gratitude. And it's going to be a great service, a lot of different varieties. You're going to get a variety of faith and expressions of gratitude. There will be music, and of course, there's an opportunity to bring non-perishable protein with you so that we can contribute them to the food pantry. So we give thanks, and we also serve in a generous way. Are there any birthdays? This is what we do at community as well. Anybody got a birthday? No? Wow. Okay. You guys are off the hook. We don't have to play happy birthday. But I do invite the fourth grade to come forward at this time and lead us in a special song.
This is a smattering of our courses.
Haven't they done a good job today? Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to invite you all to stand and open up your little bulletins. And inside, you're going to find words to a song called Arm in Arm. This is going to be our closing hymn that we are going to sing together. Fourth grade, you can either remain up here and sing it, because I think you know it, right? Yep. So why don't you guys stay here and help us sing it? I'm going to go, because I don't know it quite yet. But let us join our hearts and our minds and our voices all together, and let's be community. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats now, okay? Let's give them all a hand. And yes, you all can sit down. And there's one last thing I want to do before I dismiss you with blessing. And besides remind you that we're going to be going to the social hall, which is this way. So you're welcome to exit out the doors here in the front of the church. I will be going to the back door if you need to scoot out and disappear. That way I'll get to greet you. But this is Veterans Day, and it was a day that was decreed that on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month that we would stop and give thanks for the cease of war, specifically the war to end all wars, World War I. And then, several years later, we embarked upon another world war, and we had to cease talking about it as Armistice Day. We had to start talking about it as Veterans Day. And I want to invite those that have served in the military and have served our country in the armed forces to please stand at this time. I have a few of you in here. We do give thanks for your service. And I give thanks to the Wesley School to just thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. And for all you parents, for all our church, let us go forth from here. Let us be community together. Let us serve, let us celebrate, and let us have a great day. Amen.